Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com, the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. That's what they tell me, and I believe them. This evening, we have Kramer Wetzel, my favorite astrologer, back with us. Good evening, Kramer.
Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
Is there an echo in here?
Yeah, I hear an echo. Seth, are you there? Can you hear us? I hear a little bit of an echo. Do you feel?
Well, you know, computers never make mistakes.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. Hopefully, Seth will hear our call for assistance and help us. So we're going to give you, or I'm going to give you, some phone numbers in a few minutes. One is a worldwide number. That means if you're in Germany, Japan, all those sorts of places. And the other one is for United States and Canada. We share a number. So pull out a pen and a pencil. And we'll give you those numbers in a minute. I can't talk tonight for some reason. Be patient with me. We invite you to call in at any time and often this evening because we do not have any advertisers, so this is an uninterrupted hour. We'll be with Kramer. I know he's got lots of goodies to share with us. So call in. What are we talking about tonight, Kramer? I do have some questions, though, but let's give you your due tonight.
I don't know what everybody's talking about. I'm a little out of energy right now. I was trying to figure out what the problem was, and it's like that. Oh, just can't get too worked up about anything right now.
Uh-huh.
And the deal is that we don't have any of our big planets in any fire signs right now. There's no fire in the chart that I use at this moment. And so, you know,
when will it come back?
You know, about 3-4 days.
Oh, okay.
Once we get the moon over on into Aries, once the moon gets past Pisces, gets into Aries, you know, we'll have some fire again. But until then, you know, it's kind of like, you know, there's something that's kind of lacking.
Now, how would that affect me as a fire sign? Because I'm doing okay with energy. I started a new project. I'm finishing up a project. I'm okay. So, but
yeah.
Fire signs are not affected, or is that just me?
That's just you. It's
also,
okay. It's a good time to be wrapping some stuff up. And that sounds like what you're doing. You're just putting the finishing touches on a couple of projects, right?
And starting a whole big one, which I need to talk to you about.
Yeah. Well, starting a whole big one, I would hold off before I would actually, like, pull the launch on it for just, you know, a day or two. Stack the odds in your favor. The other thing is that we've been in an eclipse cycle. And practically, when we're dealing with eclipse energy, in an eclipse cycle, what you want to do is wait until about 10 days after the last eclipse. And that's what we're just getting past, just getting to that point. We're about 10 days past the last eclipse, and things are now just now starting to, like, even out a little bit. And some of the insanity is not quite as insane as it has been. And people are a little bit easier to manage now. I've still got some people getting freaked out, but they're not getting as freaked out as they were. That's kind of nice.
How does the spring equinox fit into all of this?
Spring equinox is when Aries starts. That's the beginning of the astrological year, particularly with my brand of astrology and Western astrology. That's when we start. That's the new year. That's when we have, that's the halfway point between the longest day of the year and the shortest day of the year. And that's where we start, that's where the equinox starts. You know, theoretically we have an equal amount of day and light. Practically it doesn't quite work out like that. And you can also see the way this varies, because I've seen this go anytime from March 20th to March 22nd, 23rd. It just varies with the year. When we hit our, when it hits. Anyway.
What planets are doing what during...
I've got to look this up. I want to look it up in the book real fast.
Okay. While you're doing that, I'm going to give the phone numbers. Worldwide numbers, 877-489-6350. 877-489-6350. If you live in the United States or Canada, please call 1-888-228-4494. Kramer Wetzel, astrologer, is our guest this evening. We'll be answering questions. You're welcome to call in. If you have a question for me, that's okay, but tonight's Kramer's night, so give him a call. This is Elaine Ireland, going global for spirit on bbsradio.com. We'll give you Kramer's information in a little while. You can reach me at elaineirelandpsychic.com. That's my website. And area code 512-922-4723 is the number to reach me for readings and such. So Kramer is, his website address is astrofish.net. And I remember it with the net and the fish, like the fishnet.
Yeah, the whole fishnet thing, ha-ha. Okay, it's worth a try.
It works. But he can give you phone numbers in a minute. Did you find it?
Yeah, it starts on the 20th this year.
Okay.
So we got that coming up. And that's the beginning of the year. That's when spring officially starts. And that's when Aries starts. And it varies from year to year. Like I said, some years it's as early as the 19th, and some years it's as late as the 23rd. Once again, it's a function of the year. This year we've got it starting on the 20th. It's a leap year this year, too. Don't forget.
We had it, so you said that.
This actually only happens once every, 28 years or so, when we have the 29th of February falls on a Friday. I forget, it's something like that.
We get an extra day.
Yeah. It's time for our spring cycle to start. And Western astrology is based on the premise that this started in the springtime, okay? And this is when everything was starting to the crops were starting to grow, the little plants are all starting to turn green, the wildflowers start to come out, that sort of thing. I was down at the coast last weekend, and I'm used to this last weekend in February when I go to the coast, I'm used to on the way back seeing lots and lots of wildflowers down in the south part of Texas. We're going through a drought right now, so I haven't seen that this year yet. But that's sort of the spring and the rebirth, and you know, it's starting all over again, and little birds are chirping, and that's what this is about.
We have redbud trees in the backyard that are blooming, and I noticed one single white iris in the front yard a while ago. They're trying.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's the sort of thing that I expect, and that's how this became associated. When I deal with Aries, I've got an uncle who's an Aries, and he was a surgeon for many years. Surgeons heal. They heal by cutting, but they heal. They're active. They go in and they do stuff. Excise that which does not belong there. Anyway, Aries is a very fertile sign, too. Very fertile, a lot of growth associated with it. One of the problems that you deal with when I deal with Aries, though, is sometimes they have to, make sure that they pound home the point that they're trying to make. They want to make sure that they get their point across. That gets to be a little tiresome at times.
Is Aries one of the planets that's going to go retro?
No. We don't have anything like that right now. We will do our next retrograde. It's funny because we do have a retrograde approximately a year from now. We're going to have Venus go backwards in Aries, but that's a year away. Let's don't even deal with that right now.
Okay. That's fine with me.
Yeah. You know how things have finally started to get on track after misfires, miscues, and things haven't worked out quite right?
Yes, lots of it.
How many people have said, 2008 is going to be a good year for you? And 2008 hasn't started out like I wanted it to start out. Well, it started out just like I predicted it would start out. But a lot of people have come to me and said, 2008 just got off to a bad start and it has not gotten any better yet. Is it ever going to get any better? Yeah, it is going to get better. It's going to get better starting now. We're not quite into Aries yet. We're not quite into the start. But as of right about now, we're ready for things to start to get better. All the good stuff is supposed to happen in 2008. We got a window between now and the end of May where we've got a couple of cycles that are going to start making progress forward. We're going to start, like, seeing that there is a light at the end of the tunnel and it's not a train coming at us. And we're going to start seeing that there's progress. We're going to start seeing that there's a lot of hope. And that's what this is about right now. You with me on this?
I am. I'm excited.
You know, we've had 2007 was about wrapping stuff up and finishing it off and getting some stuff behind us and then closing the door. I didn't say slamming the door, and I didn't say, like, nailing the door shut. I just said closing the door, you know? We're finished a chapter. You close, you turn the page, and you move on to something new. The problem is that 2008 didn't get off to just this great start. We had one thing after another that delayed our start to 2008. In my mind, this year doesn't start until we get about halfway through March. And all of a sudden, matter of fact, coming this weekend, you're going to see that things finally get off on a good start or on a better start.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that, because it seemed like I was looking at my schedule and I've had people rearrange readings and redo scheduling and delays for travel plans, and now I think I'm going to get something started and boom, hit a brick wall.
Every time.
And then right around, I was looking at my schedule a while ago before we started the show, right around the 20th of March, things start being absolute.
Yeah.
So that's why. Okay. Uh-huh. Makes sense.
Well, they're not absolute. They're a lot more amenable now, though. If you have to make changes, you can make little course corrections at this point. But we're done with some of the big stuff, some of the big pieces, some of the big parts. Some of the hard stuff.
Some of the hard stuff.
It's over with.
It seems like I was having a hard time finishing things up that I had started as long as 2 years ago, just until this last week. And I got some phone calls that kind of finalized some things. So that was good. Gave me new dates. So you're right about the year officially starting.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing myself talk about it at this point. But I've talked about this for a while about how we're wrapping stuff up finally. You know,
the calendar is a man-made thing.
We should have dealt with a long time ago, right?
I'm sorry?
Some of this is material we should have dealt with a long time ago.
That's true.
It's okay. It occurs when it is supposed to occur. It's not going to occur any faster just because we want it to.
All on universal time anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm a big one on that. What I try to do is move in harmony with the cycles of the planets. And that's what this is. That's part of what this timing is about right now.
Are you an old-timey pioneer farmer at heart that had to work with the cycles?
No.
You don't think so?
I'm a lifetime. A newfangled fisherman who uses the cycles of the planets and the moon cycle as much as anything to help me pick times when I want to go fish. I want to maximize my time on the lake. Any day is a good day to go fishing. There are just some days that are better than others.
I know you and fishing. I think it's great. What does Saturn direct have? See, I've been looking on my schedule, and he goes, "Oh my God, don't do that, Elaine." But I was looking in my little magic book, not my magic book, the Llewellyn book. I'm not a magician.
The Llewellyn calendar, yeah.
Yeah, I say that.
Saturn direct, we're going to be dealing with the effects of Saturn in Virgo, for starters, okay? And
okay.
I probably lectured you about this at one point or another, because it's... Virgo is the sign that has to be very exact about things. It's one of the cleanup signs. And we've got Saturn in Virgo for another 2.5 years. But Saturn is going to start to... We're going to see it's both positive and negative. They're two sides to the very same coin as far as what we do with the energy that comes from this Saturn. Saturn is a teacher. Okay? I had this is a very long time ago. a very traditional schoolmaster for Latin. And he was at the time, you know, he looked sort of like the English, what you would imagine an English schoolmaster would look like, with, you know, a shock of gray hair and big old gray sideburns and very gruff and not much humor about anything, unless you counted making jokes in Latin to be humor. And he didn't pound you, but there was always like a little cloud of chalk dust that followed this guy around. I'm pretty sure he eventually died of white lung, you know, inhaling too much chalk dust. Anyway, at a very advanced age, you don't have to worry. It's a good life. But I imagine, I associate this particular figure and what he was teaching with Saturn. Because if you'll notice on my website, there are a couple of places where I quote, use some quotes in Latin. And you know what? I have to go back to that particular schoolmaster and think about it and think about him, because that's where my love of this material came from. It's a little twisted and it's a little weird, but that's also kind of the way this works. Sometimes it is a little twisted and a little weird, and you just got to get used to it.
If you folks haven't been on his website, please go, astrofish.net. He's a very good writer and fun to read and an intellect in all of that. Plus, he knows what he's doing. Good website.
Let's fish.
Go check it out.
I can tell you a good time to go fish. I can also tell you what lures work and what lures don't work.
Excuse me.
Now,
Texas allergies. Go ahead.
Saturn's a teacher, and Saturn is in the process of teaching. And what it's done is it's come and it's cleared its path. And it has given us the people that have got there, especially the people that have got the early Virgo stuff, it has given them a very clear curriculum that is going to be followed between now and next fall. And whatever this curriculum is material that has to be dealt with. In a lot of cases, it's learning how to deal with an authority figure. One of the pictures, I do a weekly video, one of the little video clips that I use on it, I was riding with a friend, and we were going fishing someplace, and we passed where, you know, DPS, Department of Public Safety, had pulled somebody over, probably for speeding, because if I recall, the car that they had pulled over had gone flying past us at a high rate of speed. And I always like that, and I always like, it's just a brief, fleeting image that I use in some of my introductory material. But I like having that image of, you know, the black and white car having somebody pulled over on the side. I like using that as an image because it reminds us that there's always authority figures with whom we cannot argue. And that's an important point. You can try to run from the police, but you're probably not going to get away. Can't outrun a radio. You know, sooner or later, they're going to catch you. I was digging around in my photo archives because I was looking for some old images that I had on file for something that would deal with this. And I've got a great picture of me sitting in the front of a boat getting a ticket from a game warden for fishing without a fishing license. Now, I have a fishing license, but I didn't have it on me at the time. And, you know, they said, look, I'm going to have to give you a ticket. And I said, quick, get a picture of this. This is classic. Game warden handed me a ticket. But it's also, how do you deal with this? Instead of, like, me hemming and hawing or begging and pleading or, you know, trying to get out of it, I just handed him my driver's license and said, yeah, go ahead, write me up, and, you know, I'll send the money in. You can fight it or you cannot. Now when I go, because of that experience, that's a Saturn lesson right there. Getting a ticket. Because of that, I have learned when I it doesn't matter where I go, I always carry a fishing license with me. You know, just in case. Now, the chance of there being a game warden when I have a fishing license on me is pretty slim. If I don't have a fishing license on me, there's a pretty good odds that they'll show up. Saturn represents authority figures. It represents the game wardens. It represents the cops. It represents the judge that you have to go before. That's what Saturn is about. It's here to teach us certain things. Is it here to teach us to slow down? Is it here to teach us to always carry a fishing license? Is it here to teach us sometimes it's just easier to go by the rules instead of go try to break the rules? That's what it's about.
And it's going direct.
Yeah, and when it goes direct, whatever that curriculum is. Since last August, Saturn has handed us a curriculum. It's handed us one of those little cheat sheets and said, these are the points I want to cover. Look at something that has happened between last August and now, okay? That's your time frame. You look at what happened in then, and if you pick out a couple of high points and say, these are the bullet points that Saturn wants me to cover. How can I address these?
Wow, that explains several things.
Yeah, now it all starts to fit.
Yeah.
What can we do to address these points? These are the bullet points. It's like a
yeah.
little PowerPoint presentation.
Yep.
The problem with, okay, I even like this even better as a PowerPoint presentation. Think about it because, you know, they've got the first slide shows 1 point, the second slide shows 2 points, and the third slide shows 3 points. There are two more slides left in there. There's point four and point five. Don't forget. You can't.
Wow.
Saturn's not tricky. Saturn's very, very plain. As it goes direct, it's going to go back over the stuff that it's already covered with you once. And it's going to make sure that you got the point.
Let's give the phone numbers again. Kramer's going to be with us until, of course, we go off the air at 5 minutes until 9. At Worldwide, 877-489-6350-6350. United States and Canada, you share a number, 1-888-228-4494. I love that phone number. It just kind of rolls off your tongue. This is Kramer Wetzel with me this evening. This is Elaine Ireland. We're going global for spirit, and we do mean global on bbsradio.com. We're the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. And let me tell you right here, you can access the archive, not only to my show, but to, I believe, all of the shows that are on Station 1, Station 2. Don't know about the music, but maybe so. There is a nominal fee, tiny fee, monthly, or you can buy packages, which makes it even less, to access the archives. So that's a lot of entertainment that you can access and a lot of knowledge that you can access. So you can catch Kramer. Kramer was one of my very first guests when I started this particular adventure last year. So he's hit us at some high points during the year and given us instruction and direction. So you may want to go back and review. Are we through with Saturn?
Yeah.
Is there anything else to share with Saturn?
You're asking about it being direct, and that was my answer.
Okay. What's Chiron?
It's a Sagittarius long-winded fashion, but yeah, that was it.
What is Chiron?
Chiron
why don't we hear
is
anything?
A comet core. Okay? It's part of it's in the asteroid belt, but it's not really an asteroid. And it's not a planet either.
Then why do they talk about it going retro? I thought retro and direct were applied to planets as such.
I did planets, asteroids, and Kuiper belt objects too, yeah. All of those things.
Oh, okay. See,
so,
learned something new tonight.
It takes us 1 year to go around the sun. In that period of time, Mercury moves faster than us, so Mercury appears to go retrograde 3 or 4 times a year, and Venus will go retrograde, but because of its relative nature to us, you only see Venus go retrograde about every year and a half. Okay? But anything else, any of the other planets, will always go retrograde at least once a year. Anything that's further out than us will appear to be retrograde about once a year. So, Chiron will go retrograde. Chiron is kind of an odd one to deal with. It's between the inner planets, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, okay, planets that are all sort of relatively close to us, and the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, all that sort of stuff, the stuff that's way further out. And Chiron works as a sort of a bridge between the two. It was not really discovered until 1977, so we can't say a whole lot about it. You know, we haven't been observing it. We haven't spent, like, you know, the last 200 years watching what its impact is on a particular personality. There are a couple of points that Chiron is he's a centaur, and he's been hurt. He's been injured. And he's a healer, but he can't seem to heal himself. I also like using the example of the Fisher King with Chiron. Now, Chiron is spent about 2.5 years in a sign. It's in, I believe, Aquarius right now. And it's, let me get one of my charts where I got a picture of where it's at. Yeah, it's in Aquarius at 16 degrees right now. And Chiron's kind of a strange little character. I watch for it in some in the natal chart because certain placements I found it lends itself to being somebody who's extremely articulate and charismatic, good public speaker, good communicator, depending on how it is aspected in a particular chart. And that's the good news. It's kind of a tough one to work with, too. A lot of people just call it an asteroid or lump it as an asteroid, and that's an easier way to deal with it. It's at 16 degrees, and it's fixing to go retrograde. It's just, I latched on to a model some years ago when I first started doing this, and I haven't had anything that has really that's come along that's been a better way of dealing with it. There's certain cycles that we go through, living cycles that we go through, life cycles, and Chiron is, because its orbit is 50 to 51 years, somewhere between age 49 and age 52, someplace in there, we have Chiron makes a complete lap around our chart. And that's sort of where we get to the ultimate stage of where we're going to be. And I've seen this happen two different ways. I mean, two different extremes. I've seen one extreme where somebody has done very, very well professionally. I've seen the other extreme where somebody has just been hammered at that age, at age 50, 51, by just one physical problem after another. And what it is the one person who's doing well is on the correct karmic path, for lack of a better word, on the correct spiritual path, going the right direction, doing whatever it is they came down here to do. The person who was so ill all the time, I suspect that they were not on the right path. I think that they had somehow lost track of whatever it is they were doing and gotten off on a tangent. And Chiron was trying to correct that for him.
Oh, I think that's important, trying to correct it for them.
Well, that sounds a little like we're letting the planets do all the determining for us, but it'll give you a nudge in a new direction, and if you're not going in the right direction, it'll nudge you a couple of times saying, hey, over here, pay attention.
If you're not happy, I don't care more about Chiron since it seems to be such an important energy. I mean, I've heard the word, but not like you hear Venus and Mars and...
It's a slower energy, and it's one that I haven't spent a whole lot of time with. When I read somebody's chart, if it's an important player, I'll work with it. If it's not an important player, I don't work with it. I have sort of a little bit different non-scientific approach to reading charts. What I do is I deal with the important energies. I had a reading today with a guy who was a double Capricorn. So it's real easy with this double Capricorn to talk about the Capricorn energy again and again and again because that was what was so pronounced. That was the energy that was so obvious. Now, there's a lot more to somebody else's chart besides just their sun sign or just their moon sign. This particular person was very Capricorn. Made it easy. I always refer to you as a Leo, although you've got a lot of other stuff. I refer to you as D. Leo, as a matter of fact. D. Leo in Austin.
D. Leo.
I hope the other Leo in Austin doesn't hear that.
See, every Leo in Austin is the Leo.
Yeah. You've got it.
Kramer's charm coming out.
And that's the easiest way to deal with Leos. Just trust me. No.
Just
there's
put
a lot
crown
more
on our heads and we're fine.
Yeah. Now, well, and after we got Saturn out of Leo, life has been a lot easier. It's starting to, you got some things that you're not... I just have the impression, like, while Saturn was in your sign, Saturn's in Virgo now, so they can deal with this, and you don't have to worry about it. But while Saturn was in the sign of Leo, there you are. The door says pull, and you're pushing on it, going, how come it won't open? How come it won't open? Just pull instead
Amen.
Of push, honey. Read the instructions. Of course, I'm a guy. We don't read the instructions.
Or take direction, but that's okay. I just had to get that in there. I'm sorry.
A couple of things that we're dealing with right now that I'm looking forward to and I'm having fun with. For one, we've got Jupiter in Capricorn at this point, and that's good. And that's bringing about some pleasant changes. We've also got, of course, I've talked about this at length last time, we've got Pluto in Capricorn. And I've already given my little input on that for right now. We've also got Mars just now. What is that? Oh, good. Yeah, Mars and Pluto are opposite each other right now. And they passed each other before when Mars was backwards last fall. And they're just now opposite each other again. There's a little bit of tension. Now, I was lying in bed watching some of the election stuff last night. And, you know, at one point I had questions about some of the stuff. And I'm pull out one of my little laptops. I'm sitting there in bed watching the elections and with one eye and looking stuff up on the Internet because I want information about these candidates and what's going on. And, you know, moment by moment, the lead here in Texas changed again and again and again. And I just, you know, about 11 o'clock last night, I said, I've had enough of this. I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep. Because I remember watching this sort of stuff on the elections, and it's not all over until much later, until they get done counting every last ballot.
Oh, yeah.
And, anyway, this is the first Democratic primary I've ever voted in. I've voted in every presidential election I've been alive for. But this is the first time I've voted in a primary. Anyway, I was kind of amused by it all, too. The amount of rhetoric and watching what's going on. But with Pluto and Mars opposite each other, I watched some of the candidates get a little bit nastier than I really thought was necessary. And taking taking swings at each other that I didn't think were really called for. Now, that's personal on my part. That's just my take. But that's one of the things that I would see with going on with this Pluto and Mars. There's an extra level of aggression. I'm just glad, you know, they've got some political arena where they can go duke it out. And that's part of what I think was going on. One of the things that I've warned about in the past, especially with when we're dealing with something like Pluto, is be careful that you don't say anything now that you're going to regret later. And I wonder if that's already happened with some of our presidential stuff that's going on.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. And as far as making a presidential prediction,
I wasn't going to ask, so thank you.
I finally got serious about some of this stuff, and there's one that's up on my website, and it's dated like January 11th. So that's when I put my presidential prediction up, and I left just, you know, right or wrong, that's where it sits. And I'm going to leave it at that.
So,
I think it's going to be a Leo.
Okay.
And in case you're wondering, McCain is a Virgo, and Hillary is a Scorpio, and Obama is, of course, the Leo.
You really think it's going to be Obama? Are you going to do it?
That's something that I did then, and I'm questioning it now, but, you know, I've also learned in my line of work to quit trying to second-guess myself and trying to analyze what I already analyzed. I'm going to stick with that for now. Right or wrong, my prediction's already inked.
It was real hard. I couldn't even get my pendulum to give me a straight answer.
Yeah. I don't think
And you know the universe already knows what the outcome is.
I don't think the universe does know.
And I don't resort to my pendulum very often, but I couldn't get a straight answer anyway. Still couldn't get a straight answer. This is Elaine Ireland going global for spirit on BBSRadio.com. Let me give you those phone numbers again. I want to hear the phone ring. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. United States and Canada, 1-888-228-4494. This is an uninterrupted hour with Kramer Wetzel, astrologer, and he's prepared to answer just about any question you might have. If you do call in, you need your birth date. That's a good place to start. If you know, and of course you know where you were born, hopefully. And if you happen to know the time of your birth, that would be great. If not, the other two he can wiggle with. So, Kramer Wetzel, astrologer from Central Texas area. Kramer, you're going to be at the next psychic fair here in Austin. That is the
April 13th
of April at the Renaissance. That's not the Renaissance, right? Not the Renaissance.
It's the Radisson.
Radisson.
It's one of those hotels. I don't even know what it is. It's the old Airport Hilton.
the new Radisson on Middle Fiskville Road, Saturday and Sunday.
That information is on the website. Matter of fact, let's see, starting at the end of this month, I will be in Midland, Odessa, at the Clarion out there. And after that, I think it's Hawthorne Inn in El Paso, the 4th and 5th of April. Then, of course, the 12th and 13th, Austin at the Radisson. And the weekend after that, we will be at the Convention Center in Portland, Oregon.
Wow, what's there? Is that one of the big fairs?
Yeah, that's one of the big body mind guys.
Body, mind, and spirit?
Yeah, whatever. I don't. Body something.
Yeah, okay. But you can check
it's on the website. All I know is I show up at 11 o'clock in the morning and go to work.
There you go. And he stays busy, folks. So do you book appointments before your fairs?
I'd be happy to, yes.
Yeah. So are you going to be there either a day early or stay a day late for long readings? Private readings?
Not that weekend, no, but I am
but
available.
Check with him, folks, about that, because sometimes we as readers, we will go a day or two early and stay a day or two or stay a day late to do private readings, longer readings.
I know for my trip for El Paso, I'm already completely booked up on Friday afternoon, as an example. I'm booked from Friday afternoon till like from when I get off the airplane to when I get back on the airplane. I'm already booked up in El Paso.
Yeah, by that he means not only for private readings, but during the day at the fairs on Saturday and Sunday. But folks, if you do book, please try to be on schedule, because we try to be on schedule for you guys. So
I don't try to be on schedule too much with that stuff. It's really not a time;
it's in order.
Yeah, I take it in order.
You take it in order. The El Paso fairs are smaller than some, but they're certainly a lot of fun and some nice folks, nice readers and nice folks walking through the door. So it's always a pleasure to do the fair out there. I haven't done the El Paso fair in years, but I'm looking forward to, maybe Gene will ask me to come back one of these days. Okay,
yeah.
What other sign do you want to tell us about? What else is going on that we need to know?
All right, the other thing that we've got to watch out for, okay? I don't even remember when our next appointment is. You and me, Elaine, but one of the things you want to watch out for is we're going to have Mercury go retrograde in Gemini. And it's going to go retrograde. Mercury is associated with air signs. It's associated with communication. And it's going to be retrograde in the sign of Gemini, so we can take all our usual retrograde problems and just double them.
Yeah.
And that's going to be basically for all of Gemini coming up this spring from May 21st until June 21st, we're going to be dealing with the Mercury retrograde woes. How you deal with this is up to you. All right? You've been warned. I've warned you that this is going to happen. Now, as you know, I once sold a place when Mercury was retrograde, and that went off without a hitch.
It really did.
And the reason it went off without a hitch, because A, I used a professional, and B, because I knew that it was backwards, and I had very low expectations. None. I didn't anticipate that there were going to be problems, but when you said, meet me there at 3 o'clock, I was there at 2:30. He said, Make sure you bring a pen that you can sign stuff with. I brought three. That's the sort of thing that you do to prepare for Mercury being retrograde. I am very hooked on using electronic gadgets and gizmos and devices in order to do things for me. When Mercury is retrograde, I go back to pencil and paper. It's a very effective method of taking notes. One of those 39-cent notebooks. You can stick it in your pocket. If it accidentally gets wet, it doesn't matter because it's paper. It's not ruined. The batteries didn't go bad.
I have one client that won't even turn her computer on during certain Mercury's in retrograde. She doesn't even turn it on.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's sometimes it's easier. Some of this stuff, it's like, I encourage people not to fight with it. And if Mercury's retrograde for you, it's also retrograde for them. I try to stress the point that this is not personal. Planets aren't out to get you. And it's certainly not the end of the world. It's a matter of working with what is there.
It's Mercury in retrograde in Gemini, May the 21st through June the 21st.
21st, yeah. Actually, it's not quite like that, but that's close enough, and those are safe numbers to work with.
I'm a big believer in the 7 days before and the 7 days after.
Yeah.
In being aware 7 days before any kind of major change like that and just kind of giving it seven more days to get all the residual junk out of the way.
Yeah.
The tail end of it.
Then you'll like the 21st to the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
The world doesn't just come creeping to a halt at that time. I just slow down. I slow down a little bit and I increase my little fudge factor. If I'm booking readings for an afternoon and I usually allow, let's say, 45 minutes for a reading, I'm going to give it an hour instead of 45 minutes. Get that little bit of extra wiggle time because they'll call late or there'll be a problem with the credit card or the phone line won't ring or it'll roll straight to voicemail or the little recorder that I use to burn CDs of my readings when I'm doing it, that won't work right at the particular moment. So I know all this is going to happen ahead of time, so what I do is I just build in a little bit of extra fidget time. Not the end of the world.
Go with the flow, in other words.
Now, it's going to be particularly bad because we're going to take all our normal Mercury retrograde problems and we're going to double them.
Yeah.
Nah, it's... I go back to my sister, who is a Gemini. Right, the crazy little Gemini girl. I go back to her as an example of how to deal with Mercury retrograde stuff. She discovered, as an artist, she's particularly fertile at that time with ideas. I also noticed that I was particularly fertile at that time with ideas, too. I have also discovered that fertile with ideas and actually being able to implement those ideas are two different things. And I will get what I think are just some really great ideas. But when I start messing around with them, it turns out some of those ideas are just junk. But you have to, like, see the process through. You have to play with it. Twist it around. Work with it some.
Okay, folks, we only have 5 more minutes before Sweet Seth whispers in my ear and makes us go away. This is Elaine Ireland, Going Global for Spirit, with Kramer Wetzel, astrologer, worldwide. Please call in 877-489-6350. Only got about 5 minutes. 1-888-228-4494. That's your number, United States and Canada. You can find Kramer at astrofish.net. Are there any phone numbers you'd like to give out or all those on the...
512-209-2200.
Say it again.
512. That's the Austin area code. 512. 209-2200, that's 209-2200.
That's an easy number.
Right now, we'll talk, it's still good. Don't delay.
And you can archive our shows through bbsradio.com for a nominal amount, and Kramer's been on several times, so you may want to archive, you may want to listen into some of his material. It was his show. We've always had fun. What else would you like to share with us?
Um, trying to remember. What was the... I lost right now. I'm
We were on Mercury with retro Gemini. Stone
yeah.
Trouble.
And one of the things that I started doing with this is I started keeping a, you know, there's a, at like Half Price Books, I can go pick up a stack of blank books, little journals,
uh-huh.
for just a couple of bucks each. Anyway,
right.
I started keeping one of those, and when Mercury goes retrograde, what I will do is sketch ideas, write down, I've got some poetry that I have written, just all sorts of stuff that goes on at that time. And that's a real good time for that. It can be quite productive, quite fertile, if you want to be creative. It's a good way to, like, dig stuff out of the subconscious. The barrier between the subconscious and the conscious is a little bit thinner at that time.
Ooh, say that again. I had
the
never realized that.
The barrier between the conscious and the subconscious is thinner when Mercury is retrograde. That's one of
wow.
those times when you burble out and say something that is absolutely the best possible thing and absolutely true, but you didn't want to say it aloud and you wouldn't say it aloud most of the time. When Mercury goes retrograde, you'd make a gaffe like that. Open mouth, insert foot.
Wow. Okay.
And you can blame Mercury if you want. But the awesome truth is, yeah. But it's one of those times that stuff just bubbles up. It's a matter of realizing that's going to bubble up, too. I'll get worked
so
up over it.
So you have to double-check yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Or under given certain circumstances.
I do have to be very careful about what I say at those times.
Maybe that's why I've gotten in trouble before.
Mm-hmm.
didn't realize.
Well, and what you said was probably true. You just didn't mean it the way that it came out. Well, you did mean it the way it came out, but not the way it came out. See what I mean?
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I understand perfectly.
Yeah. It scares me that you do understand perfectly.
Oh, Gramer.
It's a great time for Cosmic Review. One of the things that I love doing at this time, one of the websites that I run is a photo blog. That's all it is just pictures. And I love going through and combing through and sorting through the photos and getting stuff together and working with it when Mercury is retrograde because, you know what, that's okay at that time. It's no big deal. This is just a hobby and something that I do for fun. And I've had a couple of people make comments about the photos and just be amazed at them. I'm going, yeah, that's fun. Just something that I do for giggles, not because I have to.
How do people find that?
Oh, it's linked off my website.
It's linked on your website. Okay.
Yeah.
Astrofish.net. That's his website.
The easiest way to get me.
We have 1 minute or so. What else can we talk about? We could probably talk for the next 3 hours, but that's beside the point. What thoughts
yeah.
do you want to leave with them?
We got a bunch of fun stuff that's going to be occurring. Just about the next 48 hours. Go slow and easy. You're just wrapping some stuff up, aren't you?
Yeah, big time. Big time project.
Yeah. And we're just finally getting the finishing touches on this. That's good. You're moving in the
yep.
right direction. That's what this energy is about right now. This is maybe without any fire in the sky at this particular moment, maybe this is a good time for you to stay seated long enough to get this done.
That's exactly what I've been doing. And
yeah.
the DVDs, the final proofs are going to be delivered on Thursday. And
good.
If anything else needs to be done, that's it. And then the components are all ready to go out, and I've stopped worrying about packaging. Spirit told me to quit worrying about packaging. Get the components together. So they're going out, and probably by the middle of next week. And then I've already started on the next big project, but still have some other things with the kit to tie loose ends up. But it's coming to an end, so this is perfect what you're saying. Perfect.
Yeah, it's right on schedule.
Mm-hmm, right on schedule. Folks, astrology works. I've grown
yeah.
up with astrology. It's a science, yes. It's
science with an intuitive art form tacked on one side of it.
There, say that again.
Science also has an intuitive art form. The placement of the planets is absolutely scientific. And what they mean is where the art is.
It works. That's all I know. If I listen to Kramer, and I know that Kramer uses his intuitive ability quite a bit, as well as his extreme and wonderful knowledge of his craft, and it works. It absolutely works, and they're going to make me get off the air as much as I don't want to. But next week we will have Chris Kopasz. She's going to be back with us to tell us how her journey is going. Kramer will be back in the next couple of months. We haven't scheduled you again yet, have we? We'll have to do that.
Yeah, we have. We've got another couple of trips scheduled, another couple of things scheduled.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't have that in front of me. So it will be on my website, and it will be on his website, and it will be on bbsradio.com schedule under my name. So you can always check to see who's going to be on and when his next fun time with me is, and they're going to make me get off. So I'm so glad you were here. Thank you so much, Kramer, and we will see you at the April show here in Austin, Texas.
April.
And the weekend of the 13th, 12th, 13th?
Yeah.
And check his schedule, his website for his schedule in other towns and states, folks. Thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it. And world, have a great, safe week. Good night, everybody. Good night, Kramer.
Good night.